This is the Faith Ventures Podcast, a project of the Libertarian Christian Institute, telling stories of Christians doing business for the glory of God. If you appreciate this program, support the nonprofit work of LCI by donating at libertarianchristians.com/donate. And if you'd like to share your story, contact us at podcast@libertarianchristians.com. Welcome back to Faith Ventures. I'm Dr. Norman Horn. This is a show in which we talk about the great stories of Christians doing business for the glory of God. And today I'm honored to be joined by my new friend, Stephen Doucette. Stephen is an investment advisor representative at Horder Investment Management. He's a graduate of Northwestern University. He was an officer in the U.S. Navy. And he is passionate about helping guide pre-retirees and retirees toward their best financial future. Having observed his own family as they aged and having difficulty retire, he wants to make this better for you and better for Christians across the United States. So, Stephen, thank you for joining us. I'm so excited for you to be here and to talk about financial freedom together.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here, Norman.
So, Stephen, I often like to just begin our discussions at Faith Ventures with a kind of your story as of a career. What is it that made you into the Stephen Doucette of today? Can you give us kind of a overview of your career trajectory and how you grew into being the person you are today?
Absolutely, Norman. You mentioned a little bit of my background. I appreciate that. I'm going to go back to my college days when I was in high school. You don't know this, but I'm tall. I'm 6 foot six. I was a basketball player, pretty good. And I still play. It's a great sport. I was actually being recruited to play for the Air Force Academy. And to have the honor and privilege to go to any of the academies would have been great. And the interesting thing was that what happened was out of my control because I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go to college. I was in high school at the time. And one thing in my life, I can tell you with absolute certainty, ever since I was a little boy, I always felt God's presence in my life. And when I say God's presence, I'm talking about Him guiding me. Mm. That still small voice that talks to you and tells you what way to go. Well, I wasn't getting a strong message for college, but I had a really good, the best basketball game in my high school career. I had 28 points. I hit a last second half court shot. This is before three pointers, by the way. And I started, I didn't know it at the time, but there was a scout there for the Air Force Academy. And he was scouting a player on another team who I really outshone. And so I started getting recruited by the Air Force Academy. And I went through the whole process. And this is the day before internet, before cell phones, before email, all that. The letters stopped coming to me. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going wrong there? I finally reached someone at the Air Force Academy and said, our coach came to see you play. I said, when did he come to see me play? And he told me when. I said, oh my God, it was one of the worst games of my career. I can't blame my nerves. I didn't know he was there, but it was God's way of saying, this isn't necessarily the path that I want you to go down. But I had done everything to qualify for the Air Force Academy. And they said I could still go, but I would be in the what they called MPQ category, non-physically qualified. I said, what? I'm in great shape. They said, your physical height, your sitting height was too high for you to fly in jets.
Oh.
It's hard enough to get into an academy, but they only take 2% of people going that non-physically qualified category. And I was good at school, but I'm not some genius, so to speak. So I turned down the Air Force Academy, but at the same time, I found out about ROTC. Mm-hmm. And somebody come to our local high school, but he was Army. And at that point, I wanted to really go to Northwestern. And Northwestern had ROTC because, I appreciate sharing my background. I came from a family that was kind of too rich to be poor, but too poor to be rich, kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
My parents had saved up nothing, zero for college, zero. And my brother ended up working his way through college. My sister took out student loans that she was repaying for years. And I, thank God I was able to qualify for a Navy ROTC scholarship. I knew all along that God had my back, so to speak, that this was all working out for a reason. Because at first I was devastated that they lost interest in me. But it opened up a new door to go to Northwestern University. And from Northwestern, obviously got a great education and had a job. Coming right out of college, which isn't always easy. I know you had a great background as a chemical engineer, but a lot of people struggle coming out of college. Well, I had a position in the Navy, so I can say officially I'm a government employee for about 4.5 years. I could tell you many sea stories. We don't have time today, but if you ever want to have me come back, I'd be happy to share some of those. But finish up in the Navy, went to work in corporate America. Worked my way up from entry-level management up to a district manager within a 10-year period. I was kind of a rising star, so to speak. But I learned a hard lesson in corporate America. Norman, I'll tell you what it was. It doesn't matter what you know. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. It's not so important as what you know as who you know.
Sure.
Because the higher I started climbing in that organization, the more clear it became to me that it was political. The decisions on promotions, et cetera, were political. And that's not who I am. I'm here to glorify God, okay, and serve my fellow mankind. So I'm not going to kiss up to anyone. Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of got me a little bit of trouble. But again, this is one of the times where really faith, this is so important. It's been such an important part of my life. In fact, if I can take a moment on faith, is when I was, obviously, it was important to me when I was trying to figure out where to go to college, but then when I saw that I was up for a regional promotion, and the person who got it was the son-in-law of the divisional vice president. Talk about nepotism.
Yeah, it's tough.
And so the writing was on the wall, and that's where I really turned to faith. I love what the Bible says about faith, what Jesus says. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and Norman, I've been told, I haven't seen a mustard seed ever, but I've been told
they're pretty small.
The smallest of all seeds. So Jesus said, if you have the smallest amount of faith, you can move mountains. Mm-hmm. And when he says move mountains, I don't look at that literally. I look at it as a metaphor.
Sure.
Whatever your challenge is, whether it's financial, educational, vocational, work-wise, relationship-wise, we can go on and on with all the challenges that we have there. But I turned to faith, turned to God. What do I do here, Father? Because it seemed like I was a dead end. Because now the person who was my new boss was my biggest enemy. Mm. I could get very far in corporate America. And of course, I prayed. And one thing I like to use faith is I like to use the term faith to me as a keystone.
Mm-hmm.
Norman, you're familiar with a keystone on an arch. You're a chemical engineer, not a civil engineer.
Right. It's that centerpiece at the top of the arch, yeah?
That's right. The centerpiece right in the top of the arch is mm-hmm. kind of a wedge. It holds the entire mm-hmm. art together and brings all the different pieces together. Well, I think faith is what brings us all together as Christians. It holds us together.
Yeah.
And times of faith, it seems like some of the most challenging times in our life is when we turn to faith. We should all the time, and I really strive toward that. But those are the times where I've seen it the most. I love that. You can't tell, but I'm not far from a beach right here from the lake. And I love that little footprints in the sand. I'm sure you've seen
it.
Sure,
yeah.
When we go through, and we all go through tough times in life.
Oh, yeah.
And when we, you know, the person asks the Lord, there's one less set of footprints when I'm going through the rough times in my life. And the Lord says, yeah, that's what I'm carrying you through. And so don't lose that faith. Don't lose that trust there. I ended up going into the career that I am now. Interestingly enough, and I love what I do, by the way. I'm helping people on a regular basis. And it's in a career where, unfortunately, there are some rotten apples out there.
Yeah.
People that are driven, focused on money. We'll probably talk a little about money here. And money isn't the root of all evil. It's the love of money.
Right.
And again, I'm sure, Norman, we're going to continue to talk about that. But Actually, a buddy of mine reached out to me right when this was all going on. He said, why don't you come work to me in the investment world, with me in the investment world? Interestingly enough, the first time I turned him down. But the second time, things had changed my life. That gentleman got promoted above me. And I saw the handwriting on the wall. So life is, it's not about our timing. It's about God's timing. It's all I can tell you. Too many people say, God, I want this, I want that, and I want it this time. No, no. It's God. It's the Lord's time here. When things are going to happen for us and what He wants. If you're humble enough to open yourself to that and stay quiet enough, I love Jesus says when you pray, go in the closet. What's He talking? Yeah. Get rid of all that noise out there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
all
a great
the
point.
Opinions people have, and listen to the quiet voice of God. And I turned down the first time. I said, his name's Don. I said, Don, I don't have the knowledge to be an investment advisor. And I don't like sales.
Mm.
He said, Steve, you're a smart guy. We can teach you the knowledge. He says, look, if you focus on doing the right things for people and you take an education-based approach, teach them, just like Jesus did with parables, teaching people and showing the example. So people will come to you. They'll be asking you what I need to do to get started. I like that because the fact of, you know, having to twist someone's arm in sales, that, you know, get away. I want nothing to do with that. But but that blessing took me into where I am currently today. That's a kind of a, I don't want to call it a quick background, but certainly a little bit of a summary of who I am and where I am today and how I got there.
Well, and it's neat what you just described in actually two different ways. I think I really like it, which is, you know, in your one of your experiences in corporate America, there you saw the nepotism, the political side of things that kind of dominated, and then you move into sales in a sense. I mean, or some, but you're there you're just trying to help people in a slightly different way, of course. But what's kind of interesting there is that in both cases. We would say, like, God is no respecter of persons. We learned that from the book of James. And you're trying not to be as well. You don't want to be a respecter of persons. And you see that in the corporate side where you say we ought not to behave like that. But then also that plays into the way in which we interact with other people in other types of situations, like sales for that matter, where we are not a respecter of persons. We're going to treat them all as human beings. And in the way that we want to be treated, that's kind of the ethos there. And like an interesting kind of connection point between where you were and now, even what you have become in that respect. Please go ahead.
Well, absolutely. I agree 100%, Norman. When you look at the good book, the Bible has, it talks about the two great commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Love God and love your fellow man. Well, how do you love God? And this is something I ponder quite a bit. And how do you love your fellow man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to kind of focus on the fellow man, because if you take care of your fellow man, you're loving God, at least from my perspective there.
Yeah. What you've done to the least of these, you've done for me. Yeah.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite parables in the Bible by far, and you probably can pull it out by chapter and verse. I don't have that ability. But it's the parable of the talents.
Mm.
I love that parable. Jesus taught in parables because parables are stories, and people understand stories better than facts, so to speak. And it talks about the master. I believe it was, he had three servants? Some of the numbers I might be missing here, but to one servant, he gave five talents. To the second, he gave three. And I think to the third, he gave one. Don't quote me on those numbers, but I think I have. You might say, well, what's a talent? Well, literally, a talent is a measurement of wealth. Silver, I think it was back in the biblical days. But to me, just like many things in the Bible, it's metaphorical. Talent is what gifts God has given to you. And the amazing thing, and this is when it comes to wealth and wealth creation, The good book says to live life, God wants us to live life abundantly. Abundantly. Obviously, abundance of love, abundance of spirit, abundance of joy. But also, I think that includes not having to be in debt, whether it's credit card debt or not having enough money to retire. He wants us to have the resources. And I keep thinking about talking to you here, Norman, is a wonderful experience because I keep thinking about going back to the Bible when Jesus had to pay taxes.
Yeah.
For those of us like myself that pay quarterly taxes, I'm a little nervous. I got quarterly taxes coming up in 3 weeks.
Yep.
And Jesus was like, don't worry about that. Give unto Caesar that is due Caesar and to the Lord what's the Lord. And I think he said, go check in the mouth of a fish and there was a coin there that one disciple was able to cover that for you. So your needs will be met if you put them in proper perspective on that. But getting back, we were talking about the talents. The servant, the master was the happiest of the two servants that multiplied the talents. He was actually angry with the servant that buried the talent and made nothing from it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all been given talents. And how do you serve your fellow man? Is how you serve God. Whatever talents you've been given, use them to the fullest and multiply them to live life in abundance.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, what you're saying resonates quite a bit because the way you serve your fellow man is reflective of how you serve God as well. Because you can imagine like you might be raising your hands on Sunday morning and praising God at the top of your voice. But then if you go to work and you begin to, you know, to cheat your customers or you treat your coworkers like garbage, or act lording it over your employees or the people who serve under you, say as a manager or something to that effect, like, what kind of good religion is that? We talk about that in terms of both in the way in which we're charitable towards others as well, such as again in the book of James, I believe it talks about this. It's like what kind of bad religion is this that you got it, that you're working under? But this is also reflected in how we behave around others like this. We don't eject our principles and become different because the business world is the business world and we have to be hard and, you know, and exacting and so on as we, and when we're over there, but then, well, we change all of our ethics out when we walk through the door of a church or something like that. And I think that's kind of a large message of why it's so great to talk to folks like you in this, is that putting into proper perspective where our finances should be, in both from kind of just a sheer stewardship perspective, like how do we relate that to God, but also in how we relate to it with others around us, is really crucial, because those things interplay and whatnot. So I'm glad that we're going through this and you're bringing up these, you know, these parables and whatnot. You know, what are some of the things that like really affected your way of thinking around these topics as you've grown older? I mean, respectfully, like you're our elder generation, and we want to learn from folks like you in this respect. What are some of those things that you would want us to know?
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm actually proud to say I'm on the young side of the baby generation. I've been doing what I do for 28 years. I love what I do. I'm not planning on going anywhere. It all comes down to, do you love what you do? And are you doing it for the glory of God? Look, we all work, so we have a paycheck we bring in, but what is the higher purpose there? I love what you just said a moment ago about stewardship. If we've been blessed with whatever talent or wealth that we may have, or that may be coming our way and we just don't realize it yet, are we being a good steward of it? Are we multiplying these talents like the servants did that the master was happy with, that multiplied these talents? Are we using wealth for good causes? I might get in trouble for sharing this with you because my wife is very private, but she, I might even get emotional. She's involved in animal rescue, which is so noble. These are all creatures of God, but they need, you know, we're the master of them, really. And so many people abuse animals. I don't want to get into that area there, but for years she was, we did rescue cats and dogs, and we still do. And I'm not allowed to say how many we have. Mm. But she's recently into rescuing horses.
Oh, okay.
And horses are a special creature. I personally believe they have a soul. Any of you that know horses, and there's a tragic thing going on in the U.S. There are 20,000 a year being shipped off to Mexico and Canada and being turned into dog food.
Ooh.
So my wife is working with an amazing horse rescue in Ohio that takes them right out of the pen, the slaughter pen, and we take care of them. But that's part of being that good stewardship of the gifts that we've been given. That's multiplying talents and the good that we do. So to have a little perspective on life, because life, I keep going back, live life and live life abundantly. It's all about your mentality, your attitude, how you approach life. And we need to get fear of lack. We live in too much of a materialistic society. I was just on the local news talking about people that are all worked up about Christmas, but not about Christmas. I was actually, I've been interviewed several times, different stations and locations and podcasts. But I remember I was talking right before Black Friday. Mm-hmm. I said, what's the real event here? Is it all about Black Friday and buying gifts, or is it about Christmas? And what is the true meaning of Christmas? It's not about giving gifts. I remember during the interview, I said, look, these three kings came across the desert to worship and show respect and spend time with the newborn king, the king of all kings. And yes, they brought gifts. They brought frankincense and myrrh, right, and gold, I think. Mm-hmm. I said, know all that.
You got it.
I said, they didn't come, they didn't have credit cards back in those days. You know, that it wasn't a gift, giving is a tradition and part of Christmas, but the focus is celebrating the birth and life of Christ and worshiping him and sharing that with our fellow men. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling people, don't get caught up in having to buy so many gifts and spending so much money. I'd like to say, and since we're real close to the Christmas holiday, I hope it's okay to share that, Norman.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's important that we really try to get away from the consumerism and the mass media buying. NerdWallet had a startling statistic. Almost a third, 31% of Americans, one out of three of us, are still paying off debt from last Christmas buying.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's wild.
Unbelievable. And there are lots of things that I can go into those different subjects here, but the main purpose is really keep the main thing the main thing. Going back, I've always, as I said earlier, I've always felt God's presence in my life. And he will guide you, but too many people have too much noise in their minds, in their thoughts. They're being influenced by other people's opinions. Okay, I won't get into that whole subject. Listen to ask God. One of my favorite scriptures, verses in the Bible, is ask. Here's what I mean by that. Ask and ye shall
receive, yeah.
Right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the beginning of each of those sentences? Ask. A-S-K.
Yeah, okay.
It's scriptural. The Lord wants us. He wants us to live life abundantly. I'm not saying focus on material things.
Yeah. Well, and this is a great point, because I think, you know, one of the appeals to me to bring you on the show and talk about financial freedom and faith is that there's quite the difference between a proper understanding of stewardship, of money, of economics, of these sorts of things, financial freedom, all of that, versus consumerism. And so I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think that's what I'd like us to kind of focus on for a few minutes here, because I think gets at some of the root misconceptions that so many of us have about what it means to live in a free society, where we are both free to trade and free to worship. That's all of those aspects of a society like this are really important for us to really grasp. So from your point of view, how do you like to explain to folks how to think better about money, about financial freedom, and how that interplays with their faith? Yeah, we say off the top, you know, look, we know that it's not that money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. From there, where do you go? What do you try to do to affect their thinking there?
Well, again, it's all about good stewardship. Mm-hmm. First is we need to create the wealth. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to do that. I'm a big believer in paying yourself first. See, most people say, well, I don't have enough money for college. I don't have enough money for retirement, which is mm-hmm. my specialty. I've heard a lot of younger couples say, we don't have enough money to have kids. We mm-hmm. need to save up money first to have kids. Guess what? No, you never have enough money to have kids.
It's sort of true.
Now do it. You'll be provided for. That fish will arrive and do that for you. Because mm-hmm. We're supposed to be plenteous and multiply. But also getting back to that good steward and using your talents, I'm a big believer in paying yourself first. And what I mean by that is wealthy or more successful people, depending on how you define success, of course, they will pay themselves first and then pay their bills. Interesting enough, people that are not as successful or maybe not as wealthy, they'll pay all their bills and then they try to save what's left over. And Norman, how much is usually left over?
Yeah, when you do it that way, not a lot.
Not a lot. Yeah. No. Thank God there are things like 401ks where you're paying yourself first, actually from your paycheck, or there'd be a huge retirement crisis in America today. Mm-hmm. Already enough of one, it would be even worse. So be a good steward, have a plan, have a written plan. Many mm-hmm. people have a mental plan. That's not good enough. There's something, I'm a little bit old fashioned. You talked about my generation. But there's something powerful about putting things in writing.
Yeah.
In fact, this time of year, every year I will sit down and put together my big goals for myself and my wife for the year, family, everything from financial all the way to spiritual. Mm. But put them in writing. I'm a big believer in visualization. Is visualize if you know, I'm actually going to be giving some information on how to buy a house in 2026. I'm due being interviewed for that. Mm-hmm. And start out with the right mentality. We start out with an abundance mentality and see that house and know that the Lord wants you to have it. Mm. As long as your motivation is right, and I'm sure it is right and good. I'm not talking about greed here. I've been talking about doing the right thing. And have gratitude. Mm-hmm. So many people complain about what they lack or what they don't have. Be grateful for what you do have. It's always one of the things that has been always helpful that I have seen is when I recommend to someone, sit down and write a gratitude list. Mm. All the things you're grateful for in life. And it can really be a mind changer, because some of the greatest books, motivational type books like Think and Grow Rich, it's all about your thought, having the right mentality. And then pay yourself first. Tithing is important for a lot of people, or charitable giving. That's all part of paying yourself first in there. One of the things, I'm not here to pat my own back here, but one of the things that makes me feel so good this time of year is I will go to the local grocery store And I'll try to find someone, and I tried to stereotype, but try to find someone that maybe looks like they can use a little assistance. And of course, I asked them, but one of the most rewarding things is I will pay for their groceries.
Hmm.
I asked them first because I don't want to disrespect anyone, but my heart is still warm. I can still remember people I've done that for, an elderly lady who just, you know, that's taking care of our fellow man. Love yeah. God. Love our fellow man, do the right thing, have the right mindset, be giving. Christmas is about giving. Mm. If you don't have the money, that's okay. I never wanted that, what was it, the Red Ryder BB gun? Sorry, I never had an ultimate Christmas gift. In fact, when I look back at my childhood, I think, don't get me wrong here, but I think Christmas is mainly for children. I'm not saying adults cannot enjoy it. They can as well. But I think most people say, we look back at our Christmases as children.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't remember any of my gifts. But I remember the time, I get emotional here, the time yeah. and the love spent with family and loved right. ones and that type of thing. Let the darn stress go and focus on why we're together celebrating the life of Christ.
Yeah. That's such a good, it's a good thing to remember. And it's, this will probably get posted after, I know it'll get posted after Christmas, but it's, we're recording on December 23rd here. And so it's definitely on everybody's mind. It's definitely on my children's mind. And, but it's so good to remember that. I mean, this is the time of year where we do think about what it means to give. And in part we remember that because of what God has given us.
Yeah.
Through his son. So that speaks to, you know, showing gratitude and being grateful. So I think that, yeah, and that's great advice. Like that is, if there's anything that we can do that like helps to put our finance, like our attitudes in check with regards to financial freedom, how we think about money, resisting consumerism, as opposed to trying to project at the marketplace itself, it's being aware that, look, gratitude is central to who we are as Christians. And by practicing that, having that in the right place, we're able to more accurately, direct our own actions into the world to make this world a better place, to provide for ourselves, provide for our family, to serve others, and all of that.
And look back into the Bible when you get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And reread some of the great healings that Jesus did. In many cases, what was the first thing he did? He thanked God.
Mm-hmm.
He thanked his heavenly Father. That was the first thing he did
mm-hmm.
before he healed people. Interesting. So that gratitude, that attitude of gratitude.
Mm.
I would say your attitude determines your altitude in life. Attitude determines your altitude. So if you show a love and a gratefulness, and if you're a businessman or woman, do the right things for people. Mm. Ever since I was a kid, a couple of things have been with me since I was a kid, and I'm so grateful to have been raised a Christian, but this is true for everyone, is do the right things for people. What goes around, comes around.
You know, and it's funny you kind of say that, because often I like to, as we draw to kind of the end of the podcast, I like to ask our folks, you know, what, imagine if you were going back in time to giving your younger self advice, and that is almost exactly what you just did right there, which I love. So yeah. And then just having that attitude of gratitude is so, yeah, it's just so central to who we are. And especially, I mean, it's great to remember that, especially now in kind of the Christmas season. But are there anything else that, like, what other advice would you want to give someone like me, or someone who's listening to this, who's another 20 years younger and is just starting out, in terms of thinking about the way in which we interact in business as a Christian and so on? What other things would you like to kind of leave us with?
I think what's really important is, again, right out of the Bible, glorify God in everything you do.
Hmm.
Everything. Not just by going to church or going shopping, in business. And there's so much good that can happen from business and the freedom. We live in the greatest country in the world, and we are, that should be one of the near the top of our gratitude list.
Mm.
is that we've been given the freedom to live in a relatively free, although this may be a topic of another discussion, Norman, there's sources of evil trying to take away our freedom right now as we speak. And the more free we are, the more, I mean, there's just, getting back to Christmas, there's such a bunch of baloney going on around the world with Christmas. And it upsets me. But let's keep the gratitude in mind, all the good there. I think if we start out with that mindset, I have to go back to the biggest battle. I'm going to tell you right now, Norman, that any of us will fight in our entire lives is the 6 inches between our two ears. And a lot of that has to do with a lack mentality. I'm too young. I'm not well educated enough. I'm the wrong race. I'm the wrong color. I don't have whatever. It's all lack. It's all lies. Live life and live life abundantly and do the right things for people. If you do that and glorify God, you can glorify God by doing the right things for people. And you don't have to come out and say it. And, you know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and really how hypocritical many of them are or were at the time, of course. You can be a good Christian without having to announce it to the whole world just by your actions, by your doings. And I'm telling you, do the right things for you. I've been blessed financially. And it's because from the very beginning, I never put a limit to how much money someone had to have. There are a lot of advisors who won't even talk to you unless you have a certain amount of money. That is so wrong. Don't get me going on my profession. as a commitment I made to God, I said, Father, whatever size they may happen, if they have nothing, they just want to get out of debt, please let me help them. And that's always been my focus. And some people financially may not have been able to help, but they may have needed some help in something I didn't realize. May have been relationships.
Sure.
Believe it or not, I get into a lot of different subjects with people. Because in retirement, the three things that really matter the most, in my professional opinion, is your health, your finances, and your relationships. And that, by the way, I don't say that. I teach this class nationwide on Zoom. And it's representing a nationwide nonprofit, not a Christian organization. And I don't say this, maybe I should, but the number one relationship to focus on is between you and God. You and your father, and then go from there. If you do the right things, what goes around comes around. That's the number one thing I can tell you. And get rid of that fear. Fear and lack are the two things that hold so many people back. Norman, do you know what fear actually stands for? Has anyone taken to F-E-A-R?
I'm not sure I know that acronym, sir.
Okay, well, here we go. False evidence appearing real.
Okay.
False evidence appearing real. The disciples, they were afraid that they don't have enough money to pay the taxes. Jesus didn't show any fear. He said, go catch that fish, open its mouth, and there was his gold coin that paid all his taxes and all the disciples. There's no fear there. It's that mentality of abundance. I might be repeating myself here, Norman, but it seems like it all comes around, and it's all biblical.
Well, and you didn't use this word exactly, but I think it's very accurate to say what you're describing God as a God of abundance, whereas not just in the economic sense, but we tend to limit ourselves with a scarcity mentality. To be clear, like, we're not talking about the fact that, you know, scarcity is just part of life in the economic sense, but really, like, having a kind of scarcity mentality that everything is limited, everything's a zero sum game, there's no way to get ahead without taking advantage of somebody else. All of that is where we find ourselves really making mistakes in how we end up treating each other. And taking advantage of one another.
Oh, you're absolutely right. That's a big lie. That's a big lie. Zero-sum game. Look, I love our country. We live in the greatest country in the world. But a lot of people think capitalism has its issues. Well, we're not perfect, but it's the people that have that scarcity mentality, that lacking mentality. Or for me to get ahead, someone else has to go back. Baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney. I'm a big believer in win, win, win.
Yeah.
God will give you the answer, whatever situation you're dealing with, if you ask him, because he wants to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom is all of this.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I'm so grateful for you joining us today. I want to give you a chance to say the final word here before we end, and just any other final words for our audience, and learnings that you've had over the years, or anything else that you just want to encourage us with.
Well, Norman, I will tell you, I think we just about covered everything that was on my mind and my heart.
Good.
And I know you said this won't post till after Christmas, but I would like to leave everyone with have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and literally God bless you all. And Christmas is year round, so it doesn't matter when this airs, okay?
That is true. Part of the point of it, of Christmas, is that to remind us on that regular basis that God is with us. So that's always good. Always good, sir. Well, Stephen, I guess, and a final thing, are there any places where if people want to find you or learn more about you that you can point them to on the internet to suggest, hey, this is how you want to interact with me in the future?
Well, that's great. I appreciate you mentioning that, Norman. I do have a website. It's a little lengthy in retrospect when I look at it, but it's my full name. And that's Stephen, S-T-E, the old-fashioned way, P-H-E-N, Stephen D, my middle initial, Dissett, D-I-S-S-E-T-T-E, like Gillette the razor.
Right.
Stephen D. Dissett, and spelled out A-N-D, Associates, A-S-S-O-C-I-A-T-E-S.com. You can find me on my website. And if any of you that are playing for retirement, looking for retirement, it's a nationwide nonprofit organization called COFFEE, Council of Financial Educators, COFFEE, C-O-F-E. And I'm one of their main instructors there. And there are many classes taught, everything from Social Security, but mine's a retirement class. And I'll be starting up again the third week of January. And I usually teach it all the way through the spring, little break over the summer, all the fall, and take a little break over these wonderful holidays.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we will definitely include those in the show notes on our website and at libertarianchristians.com on the Faith Ventures page. So if you're listening in, you can go to there and find those links if you don't remember all the typing that you got to do there. But again, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be sure to have you on again sometime. We'll talk about more stories of the deep past and get more perspectives from you. This has been a great pleasure having you on, sir.
Norman, it's been a blessing, and God's hand is in all things, and in all things His hand. And I felt His presence from the moment I started talking to you. So God bless you again. Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. So for everyone listening in, thank you for tuning in to Faith Ventures, and we'll see you next time.